The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D here downtown. How you doing, man? You good? All good with you?
Doing well. Thursday night football tonight. Let's go, baby. NFL week two. Ready.
Philly and Minnesota. We'll talk about that here momentarily. It's Thursday. That means Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger, in studio. Oh, it's not a studio. I'm sorry. At the bar. Right here live, we'll have him. JVT, who is cold kicking it with his NFL model. He'll join us on the show today, as will Paul Carr, the return of Paul Carr, everybody, to talk Premier League football. Always nice to check in with Paul Carr. By the way, coming to terms with the fact that I might be attracted to one of those AI fans in at the Chargers game. Dealing with that this morning in my head while I do the show. So while we do the show for 2 hours, that's what I'm just worried about.
We were discussing pre-show the models who are using AI versions of themselves to make money. That's a good way to go.
Oh, I didn't even know about that. I'm like, that fan sure is something. Yesterday, three of the four NL Cy Young competitors, or at least the four at the top of the board, the shortest shots on the board, were in action. And it started out, Justin Steele did not play last night, but it started out with Spencer Strider and the Atlanta Braves taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. And Spencer Strider had to use 36 pitches in the first inning against the Phillies, gave up a run, and you're like, well, 75-1 ain't long enough, or ain't long enough, quite frankly, for that. But then he settled down. He had himself a great outing. He went six innings, gave up just that one earned run, and He knocked his ERA down to 3.73. And then for a moment there, you were like, 75-1 is out there. That was a pretty good performance. Are we sure this is done? Do I want to make this bet? And then Zach Gallen goes out for the Diamondbacks. He gets rocked by the Mets. He goes five innings, gives up six earned runs on seven hits. And you're like, do I really not want to make this Strider bet at 75-1? And then Blake Snell, on the heels of his performance, his great performance against the Astros, goes out, takes on the L.A. Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. I was on the Dodgers' first five last night. I'm figuring this is the night where it all collapses for Blake Snell. Nope. Six scoreless innings in which he gives up just one hit, eight Ks against just one walk, which was his bugaboo all year long, leads the majors in walk rate. He lowers his ERA to 2.43. And you know what? Thank you, Blake Snell, for preventing me from making one more bad bet on Spencer Strider at a really long number. It's Blake Snell's. It is Katie Bar the door. You look at the numbers now. It's Blake Snell at minus 350 at DraftKings. Justin Steele, 2-1. Zach Gallen somehow is 18-1. Don't bet that.
Yeah.
And Spencer Strider is 70-1. He actually came down a little bit. But yeah, for the Justin Steele people, okay, maybe you're not out. Maybe you're not. But it's looking more and more like Snell. This from Optistats. Mm-hmm. We never put up a stat from Optistats before. Last 20 starts for Blake Snell, 1.31 ERA. 12.54 Ks per nine, which is drifting towards Strider-esque.
Right. Yeah,
not quite, but you get the idea.
Good, yeah.
He's the first pitcher in MLB history to have a sub 1.50 ERA with 12.50 plus Ks per nine over a 20 start span in a single season. So tip of the cap, really, even for those of us who had Strider tickets and were so passionately in the camp of Strider for all kinds of great reasons, advanced metrics, but it should go to Blake Snell. He has done this. The Astros-Dodgers Kinyella is what makes you tip your cap. You're like, all right, dude, that's where you were supposed to crash. Yeah. You not only did you not crash, you went through those two games with flying colors.
Yeah, look, it was a bet I made as well. You know, I don't make a ton of baseball bets, but I thought we had a lot of great, on Strider. We had a lot of great, conversations with a lot of smart people about it. I mean, when you're making bets at the time we were, you're expecting water to find its level with a couple of these guys with what they're doing, right? You mentioned the strand rate over and over again with Blake Snell. We talked about the ERA and all the strikeouts with Spencer Strider. And we took a shot. We thought it was a good number, a good time for what we were looking at advanced metrics-wise. Just didn't play out that way. Tip the gap to Blake Snell.
I did make three bets yesterday. Bit of a betting spree.
You did? Yeah, you did.
First, right after a numbers game, I got off air, right behind us here at the D. We have a Circa book, of course. I did the Luis Arraez thing in football. Now, Luis Arraez, another bet that will not get there, by the way. I have him at 80-1, which at the time was a great number. He was flirting with 400. By the way, I think he's hitting 349 now. Shows you how tough.
What a loser.
What a loser. He's so bad at baseball. But it shows you how tough it is to get to 400. But the theory being, if he did get to 400, that it's something that hasn't been done in baseball since 1941. It's such a hallowed mark. Ted Williams doing it in 1941. That he would be, that voters could not help themselves but vote for him for MVP. I'm going to do the same thing with Tyreek Hill. I just did. MVP, 75-1. Tyreek Hill, obsessed with getting 2,000 receiving yards. He started out with 200-plus in week one, more than 10% of the way there. And I believe if Tyreek Hill gets to 2,000 receiving yards, that this MVP award that suddenly in the last 4 years we've sort of decided passively, tacitly, that it's some kind of quarterback award and that the offensive player of the year goes to a non-quarterback, I think he would buck that. So I grabbed Tyreek at 75-1. I mentioned on Guessing Lines that Puka Nacua of the Rams not only caught 10 passes, but got 15 targets from Matthew Stafford. It's a little bit of a salty bet because it was, you know, when I mentioned it, it was higher. And then even yesterday, it was like 30-1. Before I could even put the money down, it's 25-1.
Right.
So obviously, Cooper Kupp's health will be the bugaboo in this one, but I'll take my shot at 25-1 on Puka Nacua at Offensive Rookie of the Year, 25-1. And then yesterday, the Giants with just another magical, improbable comeback. They take down the Guardians 6-5 after trailing that game 5-1. I got them at plus 220 to make the playoffs in what is just an amazingly awesome race for the final NL wildcard position. The Phillies and Cubs better watch themselves, or they may drop down into that. Right now, the Phillies and the Cubs inhabit the number one and two wildcard spots in the National League. But the Diamondbacks, the Giants, the Marlins, and the Reds each have 71 losses at this point, with the Diamondbacks and the Reds a half game in front of the Giants and the Marlins. Giants and D-backs, really the two teams that control their own destiny here more than the others. But really, at this point, you got 16 or 15 ball games left, depending on the team. The Phillies and Cubs, as I said, just above the D-backs, Reds, Giants, and Marlins for that last one. So it's a great, great race in the NL. So I took my shot at the Giants with the Giants at plus 220, because remember, they have all the tiebreakers against the other three teams, D-backs, Reds, and Marlins. Reds and Marlins clinched for the season. D-backs still have something to say about that in a two-game set coming up, huge two-game set between the two teams in Arizona next week, where if the Giants won one of the two, they would still maintain the tiebreaker against the D-backs. Oh, and there's one tennis pick today. I am on Sophia Kenin in San Diego, Kelly. Once again, San Diego. I'm on Sophia Kenin. Don't really understand why she is the dog at plus 115 against Anastasia Potapova, who did beat Anjabur yesterday, but that was really more about Anjabur's serve being completely exploitable. Sophia Kenin showing signs of her 2020 Australian Open self, where she won her one slam. So I got Kenin today at plus 115. As far as the game tonight, the Vikings at the Eagles. Vikings coming off that horrific loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where they were minus 3 in turnovers. The Eagles coming off that win, which was really buoyed by the turnovers at the beginning, and then they held on for dear life. I believe I said on Guessing Lines that the Patriots had about 75 chances to win that game. Yeah. Couldn't get it done. Eagles are 6-point favorites. This is down to 6 now at home against the Vikings.
Yep.
Just to look at, for those who haven't kept track, the Eagles injury report as of yesterday evening.
Ungood.
Running back Kenneth Gainwell is out. Gainwell is out with ribs, but, you know, I don't think that's a real issue. DeAndre Swift, Rashad Penny, probably better backs anyway. The real issues come on defense. Defensive tackle Fletcher Cox, questionable. N'Kobe Dean, their standout linebacker, is out with the foot injury, so they're going to have to rely on undrafted free agent Christian Ellis in his stead. That ain't a good downgrade.
And Dean's been the green dot leader on the defense, getting the
plays
going.
He's the middle linebacker, yep. Yeah, absolutely. And then in the secondary, both James Bradbury, their cornerback, is out with a concussion, and Reed Blankenship out with a rib injury. And, of course, the Vikings rely on the passing game with Kirk Cousins at the helm. Say what you will about Kirk Cousins, but obviously he's got super talented targets. So that's what the Eagles are dealing with. The Vikings, they're dealing with stuff themselves. And you were just saying yesterday off air, I think, which is an appropriate comment, which is you can't believe how after 1 week all these teams are like completely banged
it's
up.
It's every year. You know, like every year I feel like we sit here after week one and I'm looking at an injury report and it's like how do the Eagles have this many injuries already? You know, like there are worse teams. Of course, Bill Belichick's already up to his old ways of like his injury report is this long where there's three names on everybody else's. But yeah, Minnesota, they're dealing with they got Bradbury, their center will be out for tonight, and then Christian Darrisaw, questionable offensive tackle for them. So yeah, offensive line problems for them tonight.
Well, Darrisaw's the big one. Bradbury is their center. He's out with a back injury. But the thing about Bradbury is he gave up the third most sacks by a center last season. So I don't know how huge of a loss that is. Darrisaw's the big one, right?
This is always like when you have the crappy college team where it's like, well, they only have three returning starters. And you're like, well, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I say that all the time. Everyone's like, they got 18 returning starters back. I'm like, were they any good? Weren't they like 3-8?
Yeah, like that's not a good thing.
That's my biggest thing with that. Christian Darrisaw, their left tackle, that's the big injury, as you said, going up against that Eagles pass rush, who, again, we mentioned is banged up in their own right. And then Marcus Davenport is out as well. So, you know, if you look back at last week's advanced stats, they generated a 23% pressure rate, the Vikings did against Baker Mayfield, which ain't good, especially when they blitzed at the highest rate.
48% of their blitz.
I have it at over 50%.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, add all of that to the mix for tonight's game. Again, I don't have a pre-flop play on it. I don't think you do either.
I did. I tied the Eagles into a teaser earlier in the week. Injuries did not go my way. I would be staying away from it now, but I'm already pot committed.
This will be in-game. Too many injuries on both sides, too many question marks for me. Not grabbing the Eagles in Survivor either, because there's obviously Thanksgiving and Christmas considerations there as well. We'll come back and we'll start with JVT next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the D here downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Also, the Sports Betting Network. What did I just say? The Sports Bidding Network? What did I just say right there? We get tweets at
Beating
the
Book. What'd you bid on
that? That's right. Anything you want to bid on, we're your folks. You came to the right place. Sean Boland, right? So this was after the Strider start and before the Snell start. He's like watching the Dodgers in San Diego. They brought up how the voting is a very East Coast bias in player awards, and how Snell, Steele, Strider could come down to that. Strider had a great night, still 75-1. Isn't that a play? Small bet, but still bet? No, I wouldn't after what we just talked about. I think Snell, too good, and he deserves, again, the tip of the cap. B-Man, I was wondering, Parlay no longer on the Megapod. He has a conflict. He's a conflict. That's why he's no longer on the Megapod. We're happy to have Will Hill, but we love Jeff Parlay, producer number 5 and 8, the Grover Cleveland of producers on this show.
Hey, we love Jeff.
That's my dude.
On tubes.
That's my dude.
Bigger and better things, we hope for him.
Yeah. I don't know about better, but yeah, no, great. So off to better. Off to bigger things, maybe. I don't know about bigger, but off to things.
We wish the best for you.
Absolutely, we do. Grandpa Betts. Oh, this was just talking about like the grass versus turf, because this came up with the Aaron Rodgers Achilles injury, and everybody's now, they want all the stadiums to be natural grass. No one has ever debated that natural grass is better than artificial turf of any kind. No one has ever debated that. The Michael Irvin concussion on the turf in Philly is the one that sort of leaps off the page. The point that those of us, Dr. Chow was on the show the other day, the point that he was making was, oh, sure, you know, obviously that would help, but it's not reason number one why this happened. Achilles injuries just kind of happen and no one knows why. It might have had more to do, as Dr. Chow was sort of saying, you know, with a glint in his eye, it might have more to do with a 300-pound guy knocking you down and that happening in this case. But it is interesting that the Aaron Rodgers injury specifically created this outcry. J.K. Dobbins is in a hospital somewhere going, hey, what about mine? That was on natural grass. Why didn't y'all say anything when, you know?
The other part about it, too, is I don't know if you caught this, but, like, they completely replaced the turf in MetLife this offseason with the newest, best form of turf that's supposed to prevent this kind of stuff. So after one game, we have that reaction.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. Hey, let's maybe give it a little longer.
C. Chubb. Gil, where was your boy Oz the Mentalist with the Rodgers Achilles? That's a good point. I don't think that's Oz's thing, though, to predict an injury like that. And then finally from Michael Burns, thanks for the tennis pick. I got +120. And then Mike Rouse with a great question, because I had just bet the Giants +220 to make the playoffs. He said DraftKings has +360 for the Giants to be the number 6 seed specifically. Thoughts? It's a great call, Mike Rouse, because the Cubbies are too clear of the number 6 position, too ahead of the number 6 position, and the Cubs would have a tiebreaker over the Giants as well. So not a bad call by you at all. Let's talk to JVT. He's our senior NBA analyst. He's also doing college football shows on the weekend. He's also NFL modeling. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, at me, JVT. How you doing, John?
I'm good. What's going on, guys?
We're doing very well. I'm very excited about your NFL model, because, and let me just say this right off the top, too. I have a great deal of respect for you for doing this, because you had no issue whatsoever with saying, you know what, this is something I don't know about. I'm going to learn about it. I'm going to do it with exhaustive research, and whatever the results, I'm going to learn from it. And so far, the results are good, but from me to you, I respect you, man. Good job on that.
I appreciate it. And I do hope, because we've gained a lot of traction and a lot of attention for this thing. I think that a lot of it was the success. For people who don't know, you know, if you bet every edge, the model spit out for week 1, you went 12-4 and the best bets were 4-1. But the whole thing that I want to reiterate, and I've been reiterating for an entire time, is I do think in the long run, this might be a losing effort, but it's more about the process than the results. This is fun. It's a cool thing. There's different challenges. I just wrote about the most recent batch of challenges, which is, you know, how do you adjust now with a very small sample size of data from a new season and what you do now moving forward here into week 2. So I'm really excited to see how this folds out, but I've had a lot of fun doing it. So I appreciate you saying that, because I think there is a really cool process here at hand. And maybe this is something that I'll start to do for real as we move forward in NFL seasons. But at the very least, I'm just happy that it got off to a good start, because it's just really cool to see the work pay off for at least 1 week. We'll see what the other weeks bring.
Yeah, you were 4-1 in the contest play that reflects the model, as I understand it. What was the one loss?
Buffalo. Buffalo was the one loss.
You didn't even deserve that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you would have told me 4-0 going into Monday and Aaron Rodgers gets hurt 4 snaps in, I'm like, cool. JVM off to a 5-0 start.
What has the model spit out for week 2? Could you share?
So and this is up on the website of Easton.com. And this is part of like the process that we're talking about here, Gil, which is just like I feel very conflicted about what week 2 brings, because there are about 8 games that are right in line with the market. So it makes me feel pretty good about, OK, the model is kind of taking the right steps. But the edges that it has spit out are massive. And one of the biggest ones, it's got Tampa Bay by 10.9 points against the Chicago Bears.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that's clearly a very big anomaly here. But if you go around and you look at the rest of the board, you know, when the first line posted Philly -7.5, it had Philly by 9. The Chargers are what, 3-point favorites. They're projected to win by 4.8. You know, it's a lot of these numbers are kind of right in line with where the market is, but some of the edges are really big. So, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers thing really does scare me. I think that there's something wrong here. Now, I think very clearly the model very much dislikes the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields. It had them as underdogs last week by about 3.5 points to the Green Bay Packers. It's got them as 10.89 point underdogs to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's part of it. And if you go down to the bottom, too, I think we spit this up. This Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's also the second biggest edge on the board. The Steelers are now 2.5 point underdogs at home. And while initially you're going to say, okay, well, that's a pretty big edge, if you compare it with the look ahead line, which is actually Steelers -1, it is kind of in line with where the market was there. So I don't feel too bad about that one. But when you see big edges like the Buccaneers by 10.9 points, it does leave me a little worried, but the exercise is play the biggest edges, and so the Bucs will be on the card this weekend.
All right. Well, we clarified the Pittsburgh one. Where's your edge, on Pittsburgh or on Cleveland?
Pittsburgh. So the Steelers, the JVM's got them favored by about 4.3 points.
Okay. The JVM. That's the Jonathan
Von Model.
John Von Model is what we're calling it. I love that's that. Right.
Yeah.
Jonathan Von Model.
For people at home, if you're maybe watching, if you're watching or driving too, on the right-hand column, that's projected home margin of victory is what's in that column.
Okay. All right.
So, and I know I've got a lot of questions really quickly. A negative number means that the road team is favored there. So if you see like Chargers negative 4.83 in the projected home margin of victory, that's a projected home margin of victory for the away team, essentially.
Okay. So Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh will be two of your five picks this weekend.
Yes.
Based on the Jonathan Von Model. I like it.
And Chargers with the rest of us. Let's go.
And Chargers
or
with...
maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if there's enough of an edge there for them.
Well, so we'll do with Kelly. What we do is the contest numbers will come out. So we'll rerun, you know, how much the edge is compared to the contest numbers, and we'll play those. As of now, I think the biggest plays were going to be, let's see, the Steelers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Dallas Cowboys, and then there's a fifth that I am not remembering. Oh, I think it might be the Packers, but I'll have to double check. But yeah, for sure, those four are going to be on the card.
JVT, you're our senior NBA analyst, obviously. Do you plan on doing this for the NBA?
Yes, so I am currently writing the NBA guide, but I do have the workings of a player model that's kind of sitting in an Excel doc as well. That has proved to be very, very challenging. So I'm really hoping to get that off of the ground before the NBA season starts, but at the very least have it at some point ready for the NBA season. But that's presenting a whole bunch of different challenges because that's got to be player-based. You can't do team-based models in the NBA given the moving parts almost every single night, you know?
Yeah, and I would even say, you know, working with Dr. Bob, the honor and being privileged enough to work with him for so many years, that's been his key to basketball, both NBA and college, throughout the years, is figuring out the value of each player and the replacement player. It's kind of what it sets him apart in that. So I think you're definitely right about that. College football, you have the two shows this weekend at VSiN. Again, a live show on Saturday, then a opening lines show, for lack of a better term, on Sunday. What do you like this weekend? Did you bet anything pre-flop in college football?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the one that I do have for sure at the top of the list, let's go to our own backyard. UNLV is at home. They are playing host to Vanderbilt. Vandy's about a 4.5-point favorite. The market, if you've watched every week, it reminds you of Texas last year, Gil. So every Sunday on the opening line show, Texas would be bet by those who set the market, right? Market would move every time in Texas' direction. And yet, as we saw down the stretch, Texas was not the team that the market rated them to be. We are seeing that now with Vanderbilt. 17.5-point favorite against Hawaii. They end up not covering that game. 5.5-point favorite against Alabama A&M. They don't cover that game. The market moves in their direction against Wake Forest. They don't cover that game. I think the market is too high on what Vanderbilt is here. UNLV is coming off of a road loss to Michigan, but they do have some positive signs. And now back at home against, I think, a very overvalued team by the betting market, I'll take my shot once again. I bet against Vandy last week with Wake, and I'm going to come back again and take 4.5 with UNLV at home against the Commodores.
All right. 20 seconds. Anything on the Colorado game? Your instinct on that?
My instinct is the goofy meme on Twitter. I'll effing do it again. I bet Nebraska last weekend and Jeff Sims was atrocious. They should have been at least tied. And I'll effing do it again with Clay Millen and the Colorado State Rams. Let's go.
I didn't know you had a goofy version of yourself on Twitter. I didn't know that was your Twitter persona.
Now you're showing your age. No, it's like Goofy from Disney. It's a good meme. I'll send it to you guys.
Oh, I thought it was just a goofy JVT. Hey, good on you again, John. That's awesome. And I will be tracking as will everybody else. And you're right. In the end, the process is what matters. Thank you for joining us, man.
Really appreciate it, Gil. Thank you.
Jonathan Montobel, everybody, at me, JVT. Not only our senior NBA analyst, but doing college football shows and doing an NFL model. Paul Carr joins us. Premier League picks on the other side. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Skill Alexander. Normally, I'd read a promo here, but guess what? Already did it. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. Wrong time, wrong place. We do get tweets, though, that I should mention. Tom from Pittsburgh, love the show. Has it been considered that the hackers simply want the name of a very specific sushi restaurant? Interesting point about that. Interesting point.
That's good. That's cute.
Soccer Picks Club. I work at a large financial services company, and we have a policy around how much we auto pay for a ransomware attack and when the decision needs to be escalated to our board. This is a huge issue, and we spend tens of millions annually on cybersecurity.
Wow.
That is incredible.
Eric Efeezy 450. It's very E40 of you right there. MGM rated F in cybersecurity, according to Moody's. Credit rating might be downgraded. Perplexing strategy, to say the least. This is from David Shalafour. Hey, guys, do you know if there's any podcasts that do course analysis and also give out props, matchups, and outright winners? Yeah, it's called Long Shots.
This is always where we're like, you know, we don't hear the commercials during the commercial break. So every time you joke about it, like, I'm sure it's just playing every commercial break.
You guys should have 500,000 downloads an episode at this point. Mark Geiger, our in-house attorney, is pretty much repeating everything I said. He said, they aren't being nice. It's a genius marketing. It's genius marketing, and they will make tons of money by doing refunds in select circumstances. But underbettors on Rogers should be paid 100%. Yes, I agree completely with all of that. And Tom F. And the Four Tops appearing at a casino near you. Apparently, we played some Four Tops behind us as well. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It is Bill Krakenberger. Survivor.
Okay.
How many do you start with? How many you lose?
Before we get into that, you said something that's
please. Yes.
You said something about something that made me think of yesterday. So yesterday there's a guy on Twitter that's he says he rates podcasts or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I did a podcast in Canada with a good group up there of guys that Circles Off group. I did a podcast up there with one of the guys named George. I seen his story once and I liked it. I followed him. He followed me back. He's like, oh my God, Craig, thank you for the follow. Can I get you on one of the shows? I said, sure. So I went on there and it was like kind of this show. We talk shop. It's kind of unscripted. I said, he sent me like 10 questions. I said, George, just ask me anything.
Yeah.
Better off than because I have to remember the questions. I'm not going to have set answers. Just ask me anything. I'll if I don't like the question, I'll lead you in another area. Don't worry, without answering it.
Yeah.
And, I think that's one of my specialties. But no, to be real serious, though. So I talked about some things I've never talked about on any shows. Personal things. Things I do and things how I grew up. What I did. I'm one of the only guys that like to talk about being a loser. I was a loser before I was a winner. So that's what I did. So a lot of times people will pick on that because we talk about that, and I'm not a guy that brags about winning or anything, and so it's not what I do. So sometimes they'll say, well, is this guy a loser or a winner? So this particular podcast thing, rating service, he's got 150 followers. Anyway, he said, I rate that 2 out of 10 because of, you didn't give me no sports picks. So
some people are going to always want
picks. Yeah, he's like, it just didn't mean nothing to me. I want to tell you about my answer to him, because I sent him a DM, of course, just like most of these guys under anonymity, didn't send one
the
thing.
Courage the courage of anonymity.
The courage and anonymity. So it's all about being, I said, buddy, it's all about being relatable and talking about where I came from, and more importantly, teaching the up and coming about responsible gaming, because I talked about that a little bit on there. I said, you want analytics? You want Revenge of the Nerd? Gilbert, Poindexter, and Booger type shows that put you to sleep? There's plenty of them out there too.
Poindexter on the microphone. You know that reference, Gilbert?
No. I'm just saying like there's plenty of them out there. And by the way, they are good. I'm not making fun of them. There's a couple shows. Listen, of course guys that are some people that talk analytics don't talk in the human English language. Of course not. They talk XYZ, but you have to just know, just take little nuggets of information out of those. And I'll tell you what, there's some good ones out there. And let me I'll give you one. Your Megapod.
Hey.
I left.
I was like 10.
Oh,
nine,
really?
No,
I left last week and I listened to your Megapod with Fez.
It's phenomenal. He was phenomenal.
I couldn't really hear much off of because of the Wishnoff buttoning, but it doesn't matter. They had the over under. You guys put someone, you or him, someone put an over under.
Fezzik, 8.5, he said, that.
Yeah. Way over.
By the way, today after the show, Adam Chernoff on the Megapod today.
Oh, now there you go. Now look, now you have someone.
Beating the book Megapod.
Now you have someone that's very smart.
Yeah.
Someone that's in the business that actually is a winning sports bettor.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just the difference back and forth.
Well, but you said something there, which, if we talk about sports betting media in general, like I put Chernoff on the short list of this as well. There are, and Drew Dinsick is another guy. There are very few people, right, who can communicate some of the great information, right? So you have people in sports betting who are one of two things. They either are just like brand new and they proclaim themselves experts and then they talk, right? Or there's the super duper duper smart people who are so smart that they can't really communicate what they're trying to say.
Yes.
I won't name any names.
No, of course.
Right? But there's a very small group, and Chernoff is one of them. Drew Dinsick is another one. I point to those two guys.
Chernoff definitely, yeah. Listen, it's simple.
Who are able to bridge that gap.
Yes. If you're working this full-time, if you have a full-time job and you're going to come on and say you're a pro, and say you're a pro and you do, you're also a pro, you're a winning sports bettor, you're a pro, Listen, I'm sorry. I don't believe you. I don't believe you're doing your own work, working a 40, 50, 60-hour-a-week job, and then you come on the weekends and weekend warrior and go on a couple shows and say you're a winning sports bet. I don't believe it. I don't buy it. So yes, I know that these guys are they're you know full-time guys. Adam is definitely.
By the way, did we talk about this on air? I think we did, probably, so I don't want to repeat it, but it was about that Bet Bash panel with Bezola from Circles Off was on there, but Darren Revelle was on there, and Darren Revelle, who I have no reason to like whatsoever, he's plagiarized my tweets back in the day when I was a nobody. He had no problem doing that, but he took a lot of incoming, and one of the moments on that show, on that panel, was that Pezzola, who I love also, but he was talking about how, oh, you know, we all know that these two guys on Twitter are winning bettors, and Revelle called him on it and said, why do you know that? Why do you know that? And Rob was like, well, I think everybody agrees. No, you don't know anything. You don't know. And that was like, if I were the moderator of that panel, I would have stopped it. And I would have said, like, point to Darren Revelle on that, because that is a true.
Interesting.
That was too much of an echo chamber for that panel, I thought. Yeah.
No, there's a lot of, you know, listen, all these social media platforms, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, they're full of people who you think may, you know, that say they win. Or there's a guy on. There's some guys on there I enjoy to watch because they're so full of themselves and they're out there. I am the chosen one. I am 13 and one. You know, they're funny things. But these kids, unfortunately, they believe this stuff. And there's so much. You know, most people are lying if they say they win.
What is your survivor status, sir? How many did you start with? How many you got?
I lost on Seattle and I lost on Minnesota. I lost 2 of 10.
Two of 10.
Yeah.
All right, well, you only had singles on each of them.
Yeah.
How many different plays did you make in those 10?
I had Washington on 6 and Baltimore on 2. That's
We all got lucky on Washington.
I want to tell you something. At one point.
Yeah, man.
During the first half of these games.
Oh, yeah.
80% of the pool looked like it was going to be eliminated. No, seriously. It was unbelievable.
You remember last year, week one, 56% got knocked out.
It looked like that we were headed to that direction.
It did.
Oh, yeah. No, let me tell you something, too. Even though I had Washington. When we had a guy that the BetMGM hosts our show, when the head trader came on Sunday's Fox show and said, I've been in this business for 20 years plus. I've never seen so much one-way action as the day before Colorado and Washington Redskins. Oh, he said, we're 90%. I can't make the line more appetizing enough.
Wow.
We're 90. We're not going to move off 7. We'll go minus 7, minus 25. We'll even give you a scalp. We're 90% on we need Arizona, 90%. Immediately, when we go at the end of the game, at the end of the show, I give out a game. And I don't like to do sides, but I said, listen, I got to go on the sports book side. I actually wind up taking Arizona in a bet. So, you know.
Arizona did everything to gift that game.
Yes.
It was like the old Eddie Murphy sketch where you go ahead, take the newspaper.
Listen, Circa had 7.5 on that, by the way. You know, people, those little half a points around the 3 or the 7 here in town, living in town, normally I'll find that at the stations, a Boyd, you know, one of those joints that kick you out. But you actually had 7.5. I was shocked. How much money they must take on a bet to move from 7 to 7.5, Circa?
Oh, wow. By the way, the difference between here and like an East Coast, they'll take a bet. Yeah. Some of these East Coast shops, they really will not take a bet.
Incredible. It is incredible.
Who do you like in Survivor this week with your remaining 8?
I'll tell you what.
However many you have.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm partners in a lot of people. You know, people couldn't go in. They want to, hey, crack, can you take half my entry or 60%? Boy, what a mistake I made, too. You know, there was a kid that works in the offices there where we're starting. By the way, we're starting our wisecrack podcast up Monday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're starting
back
up
the
again.
Cracks.
So the kid was like, "Crack, can you please take a little bit here? We collected 400 from the pool from the office, and can you take 600 in each pool?" I said, "All right." So I gave him $1,200. He went down, and of course, he lost both entries on Seattle first week.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know, so it's 1,200 blown. So
what are you thinking this weekend, real quick?
Well, I really don't have a strong thing yet, but maybe this is the week to go to for Buffalo. Yeah. Even though Vegas just got hit, by the way, live line. Vegas has then went down to 8.5 now against Buffalo.
A lot of people going to be on Buffalo, including at least one of mine, I think.
Yeah, I think a teaser leg it just became for me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
It just got bet, though, just now. It's down to 8.5 now.
Still the biggest line of the weekend.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Dallas is, yeah. Coming back with the Crack Man.